Ain't that something? Amen. What a blessing. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And I'm going to revisit an old sermon this morning. So some of you that's been around here a while, just bear with me. But there's going to be kind of a new twist to it. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message on Sunday morning on trash talk. How many of you remember the trash talk? And that thing has not, I haven't been able to get away from it. It's just staying and staying and staying. And it seemed like the Holy Spirit keeps saying, there's more. There's more. There's more to this than just the talk that we listen to. And if you're not careful, the talk you listen to can get you in a mess. And I don't want to revisit that whole sermon, but sometimes we listen to stuff that does not matter. We listen to stuff that is not true. Amen. It just is not true. I pay attention to about half of what I hear and only believe half of that. Amen. I don't believe some of the things I see. Amen. Somebody had a picture one day of a preacher that I know, and he was in a place where he ought not have been, doing something that he ought not to be doing. And I looked at that picture. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. I held it in my hand, and here's was my response. I looked at that. I said, I'm no photography expert, but I'm going to tell you something. What you got in your hand ain't real. You're spreading junk, and that's a lie. Well, bless God, that's proof right there. That's proof. There it is. And they started putting that stuff on the internet, and all they was doing was destroying that guy's character. And lo and behold, it wasn't but a couple of months after that, it came out, the one who did it, they did doctor the picture, they photoshopped, and just, I mean, you know, you can't even believe what you see. So we listen to trash talk that messes up their life. Why don't you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, where the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now look up here just a minute. I don't know about you, but sometimes life gets heavy. There are days when life is just hard. I wish it was like the televangelist said. I wish I could send him $20 and all my trouble would go away. I wish it worked that way. Well, I'd send every one of them $20. I'd go to the bank and float a loan and send every one of them on TV that's begging for money. I'd send them $100, wouldn't you? If all your trouble really went away, if all you had to do was sow a little seed and just abundant blessings was going to shower down on your life. I mean, well, that sounds wonderful. I'll tell you how it sounds. It sounds too good to be true. Amen. You say, well, won't God bless you? He does bless you. But at the same time, he said, in this life ye shall have tribulation. We are promised that all through the book. Job said, a man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. How many of you got trouble? Amen. We got health trouble. We got physical trouble. We've got emotional trouble. We got sin trouble. We've got economic trouble. We've got government trouble. We've got world trouble. If you don't believe in trouble, cut on the news. Listen to talk radio for about 5 minutes and it'll have you wanting to move to Australia. Amen. Then you get down under and find out what they got. Trouble. Everywhere you go, there's trouble. The devil is on a rampage. But I've got good news for you. God's not dead. God's not dead. He's still on the throne. He's still working miracles in the lives and in the hearts of people. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I was searching the Bible one night years ago, and I wasn't looking for a sermon, Brother Bob. I was looking for some strength. A lot of times we'll find ourselves as preachers and Sunday school teachers Saturday night. How many of you ever crammed late on Saturday night? Come on, you can be honest. I mean, you get in there Saturday night and go, oh man, I ain't got my Sunday school lesson ready. Hey, I got good news for you. As your pastor, there have been nights when I said, oh man, what I thought I had ready for Sunday just vaporized and might as well have been a comic book, amen? And get down to, boy, but this night I wasn't looking for a sermon. I was looking for a reason not to quit. I was looking for a reason not to throw in the towel. If you're here this morning, you're saved, and you've never thought about quitting, you haven't been saved very long. Amen. Amen. There have been days when you just want to say, to heck with it, it's not worth it. It was better back yonder as a commercial plumber. I made better money and had a whole lot less heartache. I come home every night, laid down in the bed, and didn't have to worry about anything. Yeah. Amen. And as this church gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it's the more I've got to worry about. But according to the scripture that I've read this morning, I'm not supposed to worry about those troubles. I'm not supposed to worry about those trials. I'm supposed to put them on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that you and I were not created to bear burdens? Do you understand that? God didn't make us to bear burdens. He didn't make us to deal with trouble. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, were created in a perfect environment. Amen. Everything in the Garden of Eden was perfect. Nothing was wrong. There was no trouble. There was no strife. There was no animosity. There was no bitterness. Hey, you know why? Because there was no sin. There was no sin. I'm glad the Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But the devil, just like every other period in time, he comes slithering in and messed everything up. Amen. At the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, all your sins are gone. You're going to heaven when you die, and you're rejoicing in the fact that you're saved, but not long after that, that old devil will come slithering in, and he'll take a little bitty problem and magnify that thing about 10 times your size and convince you with some of that trash talk that you're done for. Amen. Sometimes my burdens get real and they get heavy. I know I've heard some preachers talk and they'll get on people who are depressed. And I did it as a young preacher. You know why I preached against depression as a young preacher? You know why I did that? I'd never been depressed. I was 28 years old. I didn't have nothing to be depressed about. I had a young wife and young children, had a brand new church, and everybody loved me, didn't have any enemies. Everything's going my way. So if you're depressed, something's wrong with you. You just need to get right with God, amen? I'd say you don't need a pill, you need the gospel. Y'all remember that? But boy, then one day I found myself years later, Brother Charles, I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to answer the phone. Amen. When every other phone call you get, it's more than that. When 4 out of 5 phone calls you get is problems, you get to the point, I don't care who you are, you don't want to hear them. I don't care who you are. Somebody said, Brother Eddie's avoiding my calls. I don't mean to, but there are days it's like, I can't take anything else. I don't want to hear anything else that's bad. Sometimes this stuff gets heavy. And that night, while sitting at my kitchen table, I ran across 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That was one of the first verses of scripture I learned to memorize. When I got saved, my wife and my little baby girl, for Father's Day, we went to the Christian bookstore in Douglasville, and they told me, my wife said, for Father's Day, we want you to pick out a new Bible. I'd just been saved in just a couple of months, and I walked through there and I picked up Bible after Bible after Bible, and I picked up this brown Scofield. It's about the size of this Bible right here, and I just picked it up, and it was like the Lord said, and I know every one of them said the same, every King James Bible said the same thing on the inside, but I picked up that Bible and something said, boy, that's it right there. There was just something special about that Bible. I still have it today. But I got me one of those yellow highlighters with my new Bible, and I started going through I thought, man, I need to memorize Scripture. I'm not good at memory, so I picked out all the short verses. I started with the shortest, Jesus wept, got it. Amen. I can now quote Scripture, amen. I got to those one sentence verses and I got them. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Got it. Amen. Them big ones, I just shied away from them. I said, nah, that's too much. And I'd get little bits and little bits. But this is one of the first verses. It's highlighted in that old Scofield Bible. And maybe that's why I saw that verse really for the first time that night at my table. I had learned to quote it. As a young preacher, I remember, Brother Charles, the first time I had to go to a funeral home. I'd never dealt with death. There was a young lady in my youth group at White Oak Springs. Right after I became pastor at Happy Valley, her little baby died. SIDS, the sudden infant death syndrome. Did I get that right? She had died. The little baby had died in its crib. And that little girl called me weeping on the phone. And I called Brother Earl, my pastor, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And he said, you just trust the Lord. Didn't really give me no advice, just some of that good country advice. Just trust the Lord. And probably what I didn't know was my old seasoned pastor was driving to the funeral home thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I'll never forget, I walked up to that little casket. It was about that big. And I put my arms around that little husband and wife. And here's what I said. It's all I knew. I said, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Not having a clue what I was talking about. Not having a clue what I was talking about. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to talk about this thing of casting. I want to talk about this thing of casting. I won't hold you long. I'm not even going to preach the whole sermon. Just going to give you a thought that the Lord gave me during the week. We talked about trash talk last week, week before last. This morning, I just want to talk about trash in general. Amen. Trash in general. When I was growing up, my mama would look at different... I grew up in the hippie days. Y'all remember the hippie days, Peace Man, K-Pasa, all that? I grew up in... I was a flower child, amen? And my mother would see people, and part of the hippie movement was you didn't bathe. Amen. Listen, men, do this. If you can smell yourself, you need a shower. Amen. You ought to take one once a day. God gave us water and running water and county water. We ought to take well advantage of that. Amen. But I remember my mother would look at those people and she'd say, now that's just trashy. Anybody ever heard that term? My mama would say, now that's just trashy right there. Somebody won't wash their hair. Somebody won't take a bath. That's just trashy. Well, you know, we can look around this world and start looking at sin and all the junk in this world, and we just have to say, that's just trashy. Amen. There are things in society that just make me want to hurl sometimes. These boys, I was sitting at a red light the other day, and two young men walked across the road in front of me, and one of them, I'm serious, his whole rear end was outside his pants. His whole bottom, I want to spank it. I do. I want a 2x4 with holes drilled in it, and pee-ow, light him up. Amen. You shine it, it gets popped. Amen. Amen. That's just trashy, man. You walk around with your pants down. Man, that's why you have a waist size. Amen. Your waist size is not the measurement around the top of your thighs. That's right. It just looks trashy. Things are trashy. Things are trashy. I was watching TV the other day, and two men set into kissing one another. I thought, that's trashy. Amen. We okay? It's just trash. I mean, there's a lot of trashy stuff. I want to talk about some trash this morning. And I promise you, every one of us, man, woman, boy, or girl, we've got some trash in our life. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, as Peter began to write down through there, as the Holy Ghost gave him utterance, when he got to that word casting, I feel he felt really sure what that word meant. It's a fisherman's term. Brother Rogers sitting back there, his boy come up to me this morning, said, what are you doing Saturday? We've been talking about going fishing and stealing some fish out of Brother Anthony's pond, and we ain't done it yet. And I'm sitting up here on the platform. I look out, and Rogers sitting back here going, I said, man, you ain't got a clue what I'm preaching this morning, man. You know what Roger's back there doing? He's doing this, saying, Ed, we need to go fishing. What he's saying to me is, hey, you on the right page, son. You're doing exactly what you ought to be doing. We need to talk about doing some casting this morning. Amen. Casting is a fisherman's term. Listen, it carries a twofold meaning. Number one, it carries the meaning of throwing out. Of throwing out. There's some things we need to throw out. My wife has been telling me for months, you need to clean out your closet. You need to clean out your closet. Somebody broke in my house over the last few days and stole some things, and I began to look for them in my house, and I could hear my wife's words ringing in my ear, you need to clean out your closet. Because I was piling stuff up out of the floor and digging, trying to see if I'd misplaced something. But anyway, I was thinking to myself, I just need to get rid of some of this junk. There's some of that. These clothes in here I ain't worn in 20 years. They need to go. Amen. Now listen, let me ask you a question. How many of you collect your trash? Has anybody seen that TV show? I've never watched it. I saw a commercial advert. I don't think I could stomach watching it. There is a show called Hoarders. Have y'all seen that? I mean, these people literally have trails through their house, and it's just stacked full of newspapers, garbage. The one commercial I saw, there was a room full of dirty baby diapers. Well, man, can you imagine that? And these people live that way. Man, we got a trash man comes by our house once a week and takes everything I don't want. Oh, my goodness. Takes everything I don't want and carries it somewhere to where they dispose of it properly. I'm glad I come to church every Sunday and there's a garbage man by the name of the Holy Ghost. He comes by to pick up everything that I don't need and everything that I don't want and carry it somewhere to dispose of it properly. Amen. We got some hoarders in the house this morning. You may not be hoarding newspapers, but you are hoarding sin. You may not be hoarding baby diapers, but you are hoarding bitterness and trouble and strife. In Nehemiah chapter number 4, in verse number 10, if you know the story, the walls of Jerusalem are in shambles. The enemy has come in and broke down the walls of the city. That's God's town right there. Those walls represented power. Those walls represented protection. Those walls represented the presence of the Lord, but the enemy had come in and torn down the walls. God put it on the heart of Nehemiah to return with a remnant of people and rebuild the walls of the city. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to read the verse in just a second. We've got family after family and individual after individual in this church who are in the process of rebuilding their lives. Do you know when we get saved, we get a clean slate? We get a brand new foundation, and then we begin to build on that foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we've been saved for a while, and we allow the snake and his trash talk to come in, and we get junk piled up in our lives. Somebody hurts our feelings. Somebody does us wrong. Somebody doesn't speak to us. Somebody lies about us. Somebody beats us out of money. On and on and on. Or we let this sin creep in and that sin creep in. Are you listening to me this morning? And that stuff begins to hoard up.
Amen.
Amen. We've got some hoarders in here this morning, and what you need to do is throw it out. I wonder how many times, over the years, I have visited in hundreds and hundreds of homes. There are doors that I've knocked on. When they opened the door, I could smell it. And they say, come on in, preacher. Oh, that's okay. I only got a minute. Amen. I've been in those homes. I've been in those homes when you couldn't breathe. I've been in those homes where I left, pulled out of sight, opened my door, and had an upset stomach. Amen. I wonder how many times the Lord comes by. Wonder how many times the Lord comes by in a service like this when they sing those songs like they sang this morning and you feel the presence of God. And I wonder sometimes the Lord doesn't go, oh my goodness, what is that?
Yeah, come on, preacher.
Why don't you take your trash out?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, my trash gets taken out every day.
Amen.
My trash gets picked up every week. But even the can that I put the trash in on the outside, every now and then I open that thing and I go, whoa, boy, ain't even no garbage in there. It's just what's left over. You know what it needs? It needs a good washing.
Yeah.
Amen. We sing it this morning. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. I want you to notice this thing in Nehemiah chapter number 4. And my watch is fixed.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, Sister Denise Waters fixed my watch. So if I preach an hour and a half, see her. Amen. I don't know what she did to it, but it's ticking. I don't know if the time is right. She said it. Amen. So if I preach too long, it's all on Miss Denise. Amen. Amen. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 10. The Bible said, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is, say the next two words with me, much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Let's do it again. He said, there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. In other words, he's saying to the captain, Nehemiah, before we can begin to even build the walls, we've got to get rid of the junk that is laying on the ground. If we build these walls on top of the rubbish or the trash or the leftovers from where the walls were destroyed, hey, this thing will not stand. And that's the problem. We got people trying to build a life on top of trash, and we need to get the trash out. It's a fisherman's term, and it suggests a throwing out. Come here and help me, Shy. Let me show you how you come to church. Let me show you how people come to church every Sunday morning. I stand in that hallway down there and hold the door for people. Lay down with your head this way. Other way, idiot. There you go. This is how we come to church. He told me he weighs what? 150, that's 10 pounds less than I weigh. I weigh 160, he weighs 150, and he's a whole, half of his is ugly, I think. But we come in church like this. Oh, hey, preacher. I say, hey, brother, how you? Oh, doing good this morning, preacher. Good to see you. And we're just lugging. We're just, oh, we're, yeah, it's 140. We're lugging. Oh. And we come to church, and the altar call is given. We take that big old load, we come dragging in, and we bring it down the altar. Oh, God, I've had all I can bear. Oh, God, you said you wouldn't put more on me. Now, let's stay right there, garbage. Hey, we do that to God all the time. Lord, you said you wouldn't put more on us than we can bear. And I wonder how many times God says, I didn't put that on you. I've given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to throw that out. It's been your choice to drag it around everywhere you go. We got some people dragging some trash in here this morning that needs to go if your life is going any further. And we go through all the spiritual things that we know, and we get down here and we pray, oh God, please take this burden. But yet when we get up to go to our seat, we meet the preacher at the back door. Thank you, preacher. Boy, that was a good help. And out we go with our junk. Till the very next Sunday, and we drag her back in. I wonder how, would you get tired of that? Just getting drug in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. Amen. Some of y'all been dragging the same junk in here for years. You've been bringing stuff in here that you have no business carrying. You have no business. Hey man, have you ever had a weight cut off of you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember when I was a boy growing up, my sport was baseball. They wouldn't let me play football. They was afraid I'd hurt all them other boys. Amen. I was built for baseball. Amen. And I played baseball. And I remember that lead donut. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was a donut about that big around, made out of lead and covered in plastic. Rod, you remember that? And we'd put that lead down over the top of our bat, and it'd go down to the bottom. And while we were on deck waiting for our turn at bat, we'd swing that weighted bat. We'd just swing it. And right before your turn at bat, you'd turn that bat upside down and hit it on the ground. And that lead had hit the ground. And you'd pick that bat up and go, wow. It felt like there was almost nothing there. Some of y'all have got lead donuts in your life this morning, and you're trying to bat with the weight of sin and the weight of life and the weight of care and the weight of burden, and you're trying to swing, but you're just weighted down. Somebody needs to get to the altar, turn the bat upside down, and shake the weight off this morning. Why? That you might swing away. Amen. It suggests a throwing out. Our problem is this. We don't want to admit we're carrying it. If I were to ask for honesty this morning and say, how many of you drug something in here you have no business dragging? We'd probably, there's a few of you, yeah, see, all right. There's a few of you like me, so, I mean, you're just going to be honest. Yep, that's me. But then there's others who's got their top button buttoned. Oh, no, brother. I dealt with all my trash this morning. Sure. I'm spiritually all that in a bag of chips. Probably everybody here would like for me to sign their Bible. Nah. We want to put on this front and pretend that everything's okay. Just because trash is in a bag or in a can and you can't see it doesn't mean that it's still there. I may not be able to sniff out the trash in your life. I may not even be able to see the trash. Y'all cover it up real good. But you can't hide that garbage from the Holy Ghost. Amen. He walks in with a pin on his nose. Amen. Hey, it suggests to throw it out. Here's our problem. We can't throw it out if we don't admit we have it. I thought about Simon Peter who penned that word casting. You remember Jesus found him on the shore washing his nets? And Simon, Peter and his brother, and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he chose to follow Jesus. After Jesus dies, Simon Peter decides in John chapter 21, he's going back to that old way of life. Yeah. Simon, after Jesus is crucified, looks at the disciples and said, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. He wasn't going fishing like me and Roger and Nathan. They wasn't going sneaking into Brother Anthony's lake. Catch a few bass and have some fellowship and go home. No, that ain't what they were thinking about. I'm going back to what I used to do before I ever met him. Right. The Bible said that Peter, when he followed Jesus, the Bible said he forsook his nets. Every one of us, when we got saved, we forsook some things. But I wonder how many of us has, just like Peter, said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I was doing before. In other words, I was better off back there. That's the nature of man. We find it in principle all through the Bible. God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. It wasn't no time. The Bible said they were lusting after the things back yonder in Egypt. Amen. Their minds were that they would rather go back there and be a slave than to be free and deal with the trouble that comes in life. Like, being a slave wasn't trouble enough. I got trouble now, but at least I'm not a slave. I've got trouble now, but I'm not being driven by a harsh taskmaster, the Bible called it. There's not a man standing behind me with a whip. I'm not in chains and in bondage. But every one of us is the same way. We want to go back and back and back. Early that morning, Simon Peter and James and John, they're out there fishing in their boat. The Bible said they fished all night and had taken nothing. Now listen, listen now, Nathan, they wasn't fishing with a Zebco 33. No, uh-uh. They were throwing a net. They were throwing a net. I mean, buddy, they was covering a broad spectrum of water. The law of averages would tell you they would at least caught a little one. Amen. Me and Brother Tim Noble used to hybrid fish down here at West Point, and Brother Tim got pretty good at throwing the net, and we would catch bait. But you know what? Every time we threw that net, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, one time we threw the net, and we caught about a 10-pound bass. We didn't understand that's illegal. We didn't know you couldn't catch a 10-pound bass. So he rode in a live well. Amen. We caught turtles. Everything that was in that water, that net got. So it would tell you they fished all night long and didn't catch a thing. But early that morning, we find out maybe why their fishing was so tough. The sun began to come up, and there was a stranger standing on the shore. If you know your Bible, you know who it is. It's Jesus. Peter and James and John don't have a clue. All they can see is this guy standing on the bank. They're fishing, and John says, hey, Peter, ain't somebody on the bank over there? I don't care, fish. Man, we've gone back to our old way of living. We ain't made a dime. Fish. Fish. Baby's got to have new shoes. Fish. Yeah, but John, I think he's talking to us. I don't care. Yeah, but John, Peter, he's yelling our direction. Well, what's he saying? And there's Jesus, this stranger to them, standing on the shore. And here's what he asked. Children, have ye any meat? Children, have ye any meat? Peter says, what's he want, John? He wants to know if we caught anything. He wants to know how we're doing. We've went back to that old way of life. We've given up hope on goodness and righteousness. We've given up hope on doing right because of all the trouble that have come our way. We had to see our hope crucified, so we've given up, and we went back to fishing for a living, and he wants to know, Peter, how we doing? How we doing? Well, I'm just tired of church. How you doing? I'm giving up. I'm not going back to church anymore. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody did this. Somebody done that. I'm just quitting. Well, how's it treating you? That's what the Lord's asking. Amen. How's it going, guys? Amen. How are you doing? Aren't you glad he's concerned enough to ask? Amen. He's more than concerned enough to ask. He's at fault. It's the Lord's fault they have fished all night and taken nothing. Anybody could go out there and throw a net all night long and catch something. But he didn't just show up on the shore early in the morning. I think he'd been there all night. Every time they start to throw that net over the right side of that boat, I believe the Lord standing on the bank said, hey, fish. Didn't do no good over here, Peter. Let's throw it on the left side. And they throw that net, and the Lord said, hey, fish. All night long. And taken nothing. The Lord says, Peter, James, John, how's it going, boys? How's it going? I wish for one time we'd be honest with God. I wonder if the Holy Spirit's not visiting with some of us today and saying, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Oh, really? What's that bag behind you? What's in that sack you got there? Oh, nothing. We're okay. Really? Sure looked like you were struggling to get in here this morning. Sure looked like your heart was heavy. I know the preacher saw a smile and your Sunday best, but I see your heart. Man looketh on the outward parts, but God looketh on the heart. Oh, really? You're doing good. Who do you think you're talking to? Peter could have said, like us, oh, we're okay. You want to get lied to, ask a fisherman what he's caught. Every time I talk to Charlie Ryder, that fish he caught at your house gets bigger, Brother Anthony. I caught a fish one time, took a picture of it. Picture weighed 4 pounds. Pull it out of the water went down 2.5 foot. That's a fish, ain't it? Are y'all listening to me this morning? Hey, we want to lie about reality in our life. We want to cover it up. We're so full of pride, and we want to say, hey, it's okay. We got it. We got this. But thank God Peter was honest. He said, children, have you any meat? And Peter said, no. We fished all night and taken nothing. Here's what he's saying. We've done everything we know to do. We've held our mouth right. You know they always said you ain't holding your mouth right if you ain't catching no fish. We've held our mouth right. We've baited. We've done everything we know to do to catch fish. We know how to catch fish. We are professional fishermen. This is what we do. But we've done everything we know to do and have taken nothing. Children, have you any meat? No. Cast your nets on the right side for a drought of fishes. The Bible said they cast and they caught. And they caught so many that the boat couldn't hold it. They had to call for help from the little ships that were around and say, hey, come help us. They caught so many fish that their boat began to sink. Why the blessing? Would you agree the blessing was greater than the burden? Amen. Come on, talk to me. Would you agree that their blessing in the end was greater than their burden of fishing all night? I would say it was worth fishing all night and catching nothing. If they had had an average day of a fisherman, they wouldn't have had a catch like that. If things had been normal and things had been just like they used to be and they caught a few fish, they would have considered it, okay, we're good. But it wasn't like it used to be. They found out that their efforts meant nothing anymore. But they were honest with God and they were honest with themselves and they cast and they caught. Reminds me of a man named Jacob. Had a twin brother by the name of Esau. Jacob was a cheater, a con, and a liar. Stole his brother's birthright. Stole the dying blessing from his dad. Disguised himself to be the older brother Esau. Went into his blind daddy and asked for a blessing. He said, "You sound like Jacob." But he put the goat's hair on his arm. He said, "You feel like Esau if you know the Bible a little bit." And he stole that dying blessing, the inheritance, if you will, the hierarchy in the family. He literally stole that. His name meant thief, con, liar. Jacob is on the run because mama said, "You better get out of town because Esau's going to stomp your brains out." That ain't what the Bible says, but what it's meant. Amen. Jacob is on the run. And he finds himself in a place, and the Bible said that he wrestled with the Lord. He wrestled. Can you imagine getting in a fight with God? Come on, somebody, talk to me. If you've never wrestled with God, you've never been saved. I remember wrestling with God about my salvation before I got saved. Amen. Anything you want to do that's right does never come without a fight. Are you listening? God is wrestling with Jacob in the wilderness, and while they're wrestling, the Lord looks at Jacob and says, "Let me go." Jacob said, "No, I'm not letting you go. Anybody know? Until you bless me." This is not the first time he's asked for a blessing, but he's no longer dealing with his blind, dying daddy. He's dealing with somebody who knows who he is, who knows what he is. Did you know as much as we try, we can't hide anything from God? How many of you guilty of trying? I got my hand up. Amen. I'm guilty of trying to hide it from God. You can't hide it from God. You might hide it from your spouse. You might hide it from your family. You might hide it from your church. But you're not going to hide the garbage in your life from the Lord Jesus Christ. right in the middle of the fight, the Lord says, time out. He looks at Jacob and says, what's your name? Isn't that odd? Do you think the Lord knew who he was? Come on. Do you think the Lord knew who had a hold of his leg? And the Lord's saying, let me go. And he's saying, I ain't letting go to you. Bless me. Come on, let me go. I ain't letting go to you. Bless me. Wait a minute. Who are you? Who are you? This is not the first time he's been asked who he was. The last time he was asking for a blessing, somebody stopped in the middle of the asking and said, who are you? And he lied to his father and he said, I'm Esau. He had went so far to disguise it so it would look like something that it wasn't. And he said, here, touch me and feel me. I'm Esau. Esau was hairy, if you know your Bible. And Daddy said, well, you sound like Jacob, but you sure feel and smell like Esau. I'll go ahead and grant the blessing. God, I want you to bless me. I'm not letting go to you. Bless me. Okay, who are you? For the first time in his life, he knew who he was dealing with. And he said, my name's Jacob. My name's cheater. My name's con. My name's liar. That's who I am. Boy, isn't it time we just come clean? And say, God, I've got it disguised for everybody else, but this is who I am. Nobody else saw the bag behind me when I came in this morning, but I drug it in. And if I don't do something this service, I'll drag it back out. And by the grace of God, if I make it back next week, I'll probably drag it in again and drag it out. It's just been a long process of my life, dragging my junk everywhere I go. Jacob could have lied just as times passed. But he said, I'm Jacob. I'm a cheater, I'm a con, I'm a liar. I stole my brother's birthright. I stole my father's dying blessing. That's who I am. You know what God said? Shame on you, you dirty, rotten rat. You're going to bust hell wide open for what you've done. It's not what God said at all. He said, my name's Jacob. My name's cheater, con, liar. And God said, no, not anymore. Not anymore, son. He said, we're going to call you, watch this, no more, he said. We're going to call you no more, Jacob, but Israel, a prince. Father of nations. Everything in that boy's life changed at the moment he was willing to be honest with himself and honest with God about who he was and what it was. Casting suggests a throwing out. Somebody ought to get on this altar this morning and say, okay, God, here it is. Here it is, God. Here's the sin. Here's the bitterness. Here's the hatefulness. There's so many people. We talk about sin in church. Brother Jason, we want to think about addictions, and they're there, and they need to be dealt with. But we've got sins that are rooted deeper than physical addictions. Amen. There are people who can't serve God because of bitterness and hatred. Amen. That stuff needs to be dug out and thrown out. Amen. Amen. But here's our problem. I'm going to give you this, and I'm done. Here is our problem. Casting not only suggests a throwing out, but it suggests a letting go. That's our problem. You've brought it to the altar over and over and over and over and over again, but you've never let it go. You can come to the altar and pray about it till your lips turn blue. You can pray till the cows come in. But until we reach a point in our life that we take our hands off of it and let it go, guess what? We're dragging it back out and we're dragging it back in. And you know what garbage does? It collects. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. It never gets smaller. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Garbage attracts garbage. Amen. It doesn't bother me to pile something else up in my garage. I'm like, it don't make no difference. It'll just fit right in with all the other junk. Yeah. Are you listening? Amen. But boy, when that garage is clean, I know it's been a while. I'm thinking about it. Amen. I'm thinking about cleaning that mess out. When that garage is clean, don't put that in my garage. Katie, one of the kids, called, hey, can we put this in your garage? No, it's clean. Take it to the dump where I took all my junk. Amen. Katie hadn't done that since she got married. Y'all got a garage. Hallelujah, James. Amen. 2 years before they got married, everything preparing for their wedding went in my garage. Amen. We just let it pile up. And the more we let it pile up, the easier it is to just let it pile up. That's where some of us are spiritually this morning. We've drug in and drug out and drug in and drug out. One of these days you're just going to be out. Because you can't drag that forever. You weren't designed to. You weren't made to. And we serve a God who is faithful and loves you and would love nothing more to take that burden, that garbage, that thing that's dragging you through the mud, and take it off of you this morning. When I was young, I worked with Brother Ollie Matthews during the summer doing plumbing. We was working in one of these subdivisions around here one day, and it was 115 degrees in the attic where we were running vents out the roof, and Ollie said, hey, let's knock off early. Let's go to the house and get the ski boat and go to the lake. Never forget it, as long as I live. I thought, man. He said, Eddie, you ever skied? I said, no. I said, I ain't worried about it. Man, I've rode cows in the pasture and horses and bicycles and go-karts. I can ride a ski. Ain't nothing to that. So we get to the lake. Man, I ain't even got no shorts. I took a pocket knife, cut the legs out of my shorts. I'm 6'1". Back then, I was about like Shy. I weighed about 150 pounds, soaking wet, white as a sheep, redneck tan, farmer tan. You know what I'm saying? We got to the lake, and first thing they did, old Keith Matthews, Ollie's boy, he's about a year younger than me. Old Keith started skiing first, and he is skiing on one. And boy, he was going side to side and shooting rooster tails. I thought, man, that is cool right there. I can't wait to get out there and ski. Well, sure enough, it was about to be my turn. And boy, they started handing me them skis. I said, no, I just want one like Keith. And they laughed. They said, no, you need to learn to get up on two first. I said, way he doing, ain't nothing to it. I got this. And Ollie said, trust me, boy, you're going to have to learn to get. Hey, look, they said, if you can get up, you got it lit. They said, getting up is the hardest part. Okay. So I let them convince me. I put two skis on, and they put this bright orange styrofoam belt around me. I mean, you got to picture it. I jumped in the water, and they threw me the rope. And the last thing I heard Ollie said when he threw me the rope, it had a rubber handle on it. He threw me that rubber. He said, hey, grab hold of that and hang on. So I'm sitting in the water, and I got that ski rope and them skis sticking up. Man, I'm ready. He looked back at me. I muttered or yelled the famous last words. Gas it. Gas it. And he did. He shired down on that big Mercury. Hey, they said getting up was the hardest part. I didn't have a bit of problem. That boat snatched me out of the water. I'm back. I said, "Pyong!" I mean, buddy, I was up. They didn't tell me, you got to stay up. But I got snatched up and straight over. All I could think in my mind for some reason was, hang on, don't let go. That's the only thing connecting you to life. Hold on. Before he could get that boat stopped, I was a 6 foot, 150 pound diving lure. You ever fish with a diving lure? It's got a lip on it, and the harder you crank it, the deeper it goes. And that's what I was. And I plowed up the bottom of Lake Altoona with my face. Finally, the boat stopped, and I floated to the top. As soon as my ears cleared the water, I still got a death grip on that rope. The first thing I heard as my head come up out of the water was Ollie Matthews screaming, let go, you idiot, let go. What I thought was my connection to life was literally killing me. What I thought I was holding on to for life was what was dragging me on the bottom. Some of you, some of that garbage you're holding on to, it's not life, friend, it's death. And it's dragging you through the mud, and it's dragging. Listen, you will never get to get up and try it again until you let go of what you're hanging on to. I finally did learn how to ski. But I had to learn to let go of that rope when it got rough. Amen. Some of y'all being dragged across the bottom right now. And somewhere there's a captain who's piloting the ship, And he's literally screaming at you through this little old preacher this morning, let go, let go. Hey, throw it out, but you've got to go further than that. Let it go. Let it go. I know what I'm preaching about this morning. I harbored bitterness against my father for years and years and years. One night in this pulpit after preaching a sermon, something like this, I let it go. And me and my dad had a sweet, sweet relationship till the day he died. But it never would have happened if I hadn't let it go. If I hadn't let it go. Some of y'all hanging on to some stuff that's killing you. You don't want nobody to know it. You think you want everybody to think that you're all right. We're so full of pride, we won't go, oh, yeah, it's killing me. It's killing me. This thing is about to do me in. Listen to me. I'm your pastor. Before I could walk in this pulpit this morning, I had to let go of some junk that's going on. I literally did. I told my son sitting on this platform, I said, he asked me a question about something. I said, I can't even think about anything else. And the Holy Spirit said, if you're going to help my people this morning, you're going to have to let that go. You're going to have to let that go. Get that out of your mind. Amen. Amen. There's some stuff this morning in your heart and in your life that you're going to have to let go. This morning, instead of an altar call, we ought to have a spring cleaning. Instead of just a regular altar call, we ought to have a spring cleaning. We ought to leave this place this morning with so much junk on this altar that the Holy Spirit goes, "Ooh, boy, have we got a mess to clean up." That bunch at Happy Valley has took out the garbage. Some of you harboring bitterness and ill feelings toward others. Some of you harboring sin. And no telling what. God knows your number. I'm not trying to tell you what's wrong with you. You already know. I guarantee, I know what's wrong with me. Oh, it'd be a whole lot easier to point out what's wrong with Brother William. It would. That'd be a whole lot easier for me to say, well, William needs to do this. William needs it. Brother Bob needs to do this. How dare he wear that tie? I've got one just like it. That sounds like a bunch of women. Women would do that and they'd never wear that tie again. I don't care if we both wear them at the same time. Amen. But we let garbage pile up in our lives, man. And it's so much easier to point out everybody. And you're doing it right now. You're thinking about something. You're thinking about somebody else who needs to get rid of something. What about your own garbage? I would just about be willing to bet you brought some in. Yeah. When I was a little boy, Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song. Maybe y'all could do that, Cast All Your Care. That'd be good. You need Elizabeth? Bibba, you come? When I was a little boy, we had a 1970 or 71 Chevy Vega. A Vega. They don't make them anymore, and there's probably a good reason why. But we had a Chevy Vega, and on the cigarette lighter in that Chevy Vega, my mama had one of those little... They used to make garbage bags for the car. Y'all remember them? Had a hole. You hang that thing. We'd get through with candy or suckers or whatever. If we threw it in the floor, Mama'd fuss, and we had to put it, especially when that car was new. We had to put it, you'd have thought it was a Lincoln Town car. It had to go in that little trash bag. And we'd get home, Mama'd get that little trash bag, and she'd take it in, she'd empty that thing out. You know, that's what we ought to do. We ought to treat our new life like a new car. We ought to respect it enough. Hey, there's a place for sin. There's a place for bitterness. There's a place for hurt feelings. We're going to put it in this bag. And boy, when we get the opportunity, we're going to take it to the Lord and we're going to cast it upon Him, for He careth for us. Don't you throw it out this morning. But then let it go. Let's stand our feet all over the house. Listen, they're going to sing in just a moment. But before they do, I wonder if we could just bow our heads together. Nobody looking around. Some are already coming to the altar, and that's fine. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's one here today. Said, preacher, got a lot of garbage in my life. And be honest with you, I'm not even sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. Preacher, I sure wish you'd pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd like to get that thing settled in my heart. Please pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, remember me when you pray. If you can really know you going to heaven when you die, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. Anybody, God bless you, sir. God bless you.
anybody else. Preacher, I need to get this dealt with. How about this? Preacher, I'm saved. Ain't no doubt in my mind. If I died right now, you preach my funeral next week and tell my family I'm in heaven. But I got a lot of garbage. I got a lot of garbage and I've let it pile up. Preacher, pray for me that I'd get rid of some of this stuff. Pray I'd be able to throw it out, but then really let it go and not. I've prayed about it before, but I just keep dragging it around. Pray I'd let it go this morning. Hands all over this building. Thank you for being honest. You pray with us, Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for a good day and a glorious day. Lord, thank you for these people that are here this morning. Thank you for your word and the truth of it. And God, I pray it finds resting place in somebody's heart. God, help us all, Lord, to cast the care that is in our life. Lord, to put it on you, Lord, simply because you said we could. Lord, you saw the hands. You know that one that needs to be saved. Lord, you know that one, if they don't get rid of some of this stuff, it's dragging them on the bottom this morning. God, have your way, please, today. You saw every hand, you know every heart. Lord, just deal with us accordingly. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.